Hi, everyone. We're back with another episode of the show. Today we got Juke Higgins.
Roll it.
I don't know.
Why
not?
Don't you love this intro? I'm taking my shoes off.
The carpet feels very good on bare feet. I never done it before today.
We're gonna die. Oh, he's taking off yours. Your shoesies.
The dogs are coming out.
Hello, everyone. We're back with another episode of the show. Kyle's still in the closet. Right, we got Juke. Juke, the barber here.
Juke, dude.
Dude, how you been? It's been a while.
I didn't know you were going to have such a nice rug, or I'd have gotten a pedicure.
It's pretty comfy there.
It is, dude.
Kyle, how are you doing, man? When's the last time you've seen Juke?
I don't think I've seen Juke since season two. Since it's been maybe a year.
Yeah. Well,
heck yeah, dude.
It's been hot. It's been very hot. My AC unit's struggling.
Yeah.
That's basically
ERCOT
what's going on.
Is pissed.
Yeah. Did you get any blackouts?
No.
I haven't gotten any blackouts.
Mm-mm.
Mm.
I quit drinking.
You quit drinking? Alcohol?
Yeah. I always do blackouts.
Did you really quit drinking?
Kind
of. I did a kind of thing, too, for a while.
Yeah?
And then I got back into it.
Wait, you're back into it?
Yeah, I got back into it.
I didn't know that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kyle. We can drink now.
Oh.
You got back on the wagon.
Yeah, I got back. I don't like being a quitter.
Yeah, true.
No, I just, you know, it was a thing I was going through, some personal stuff, and I just decided I would be I needed to be, like, ready at all times. It was wartime. It's wartime. You don't drink it during wartime.
True that.
Right?
Unless you're having a leg amputated and then you drink a lot.
Then you drink all of it.
All of it. That's right. That's how much you drink.
But you put a lot of it on
how
your
much
leg
you drink
too,
then?
Though.
All of it. General, give me all of it. Sir, we're going to have to take off your leg.
Here, you better hurry up and drink all of it. They encourage it, actually.
Yeah,
they're not like, it's not a question. They're like,
that's the only reason they have it.
You should probably drink all of it as quick as you can.
Yeah, that's
actually
the only reason they have it.
That's right. Yeah. And more, the only reason they have it is so that you can drink all of it if you're getting a leg taken.
Yeah. They're like, we got this rusty saw and we're going to take your leg off. Isn't that wild that they used to do that crap?
No anesthesia, but they wouldn't say, we're cutting your leg off. They'd say, we have to take the leg.
We have to take the leg. We're going to have to take the leg.
Yeah. They were like, so eloquent with their words, but visuals back then, visuals and feels were at an all-time
peak. Dude, and what did you get? What did you get? I mean, you just got a wood stump or something.
I don't even think you got that most of the time.
Well, yeah. Crutch. Hold on. Hear me out. Cutting off a limb at least conceptually makes sense. But one of the other things they do is they would bleed people out. Like, you're sick, we're going to draw some blood. Like, that makes way less sense.
Yeah, the illness is in the blood. It's in
you
the.
You got to get rid of the LL skin.
It's in the. What do they call it? The humors? Or the. Yeah, the humor. Like, the. Not that kind of humor, but like.
Like the melancholic,
yeah.
Get your
mind
thing
out of the gutter. Not that kind of humor, you
yeah,
perv.
Yeah, you dork. You big dork. Oh, man. Do you think you could saw through a man's leg if you needed it, if it was required? Do you think with a saw, like a hacksaw?
Well, yes.
Is but he what? Is he a friend?
No, I was going to say, is he nice awake?
Yeah.
Does he want me to? Does he know?
Yeah.
It's like 127
he
hours.
To. Yeah,
he's
he
like
knows you have to.
Yeah, I could do it.
You could saw
even if
through
all of that wasn't true, even if we weren't friends and I was doing it despite him.
You could still do it.
I could do it. I could make it happen.
Do you think you could do, like, what was that movie, 2,400
hours? 127
hours,
yeah, where his arm's stuck. I couldn't do it to my own arm.
Where
I think I would die.
His stuck and he's got to cut through his own arm?
I'm sorry, I'm so hungry.
Yeah, that's fine. We're going to talk about amputees while you're eating ground beef while we're talking about sawing our arm off.
Do you think you could cut
through your own arm?
Mm-mm.
No, because, like, that nerve, I haven't seen the full movie, but I know there's a part where he gets to the nerve of his, he gets, like, to the nerve and it's just like a live wire. I just cannot imagine cutting through that.
I wonder about the bleeding.
I guess if you really, really, really knew.
Tourniquet, right?
Yeah.
You got to tourniquet it.
Yeah. I think if you really, really, really knew that if you don't do this, you will die. Maybe? Like, maybe you'd be pushed so far.
I'd have to be scared.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're just stuck. Like, you're stuck.
No, but he there's no impending doom.
Yeah.
Like, if I get my, if I'm a fox. And I get my arm caught in a fox trap.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm chewing that bad boy off because that dog and that hunter ain't getting me.
Yeah, okay.
But if I'm chilling in a ravine with
a boulder. You'd procrastinate it?
Oh, too much.
Why do today what we could do tomorrow? You'd put it off.
One more day, baby.
One more day. Maybe the helicopter's coming.
Yeah, they're coming for me, for sure.
Man, do you think you could... there was a famous picture, you could look this up, Kyle, of a doctor operating on himself. I don't know that I could do that stuff.
I know a guy in Dallas in the community of urologists. I forget his name, but he's pseudo-famous, like, in the community and amongst his own patients for giving himself a vasectomy.
Whoa.
In the bathtub.
Whoa! With
alcohol and a mirror.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wait, but during a vasectomy, don't they?
And he drank all of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, give me this all is, of it.
I don't know if I want to put take this the photo. Vas deferens.
Yeah, not safe for work, but this is a doctor. Doctor, what's the...
At that point, why wear the mask?
The Soviet surgeon. Dude, in Soviet Russia, doctors work on themselves.
Yeah.
Soviet surgeon. I forget why he had to do it. Oh, what'd you do? It went away.
Oh, sorry about that.
Does it say what happened?
Yeah, bring back our facts. What else are we supposed to look at?
Yeah, Kyle, we can't see it, man.
Oh, you guys want to look contact? So smart.
I don't know that I could. Or movies where they have to impale themselves with a sword.
He was on an Antarctic mission. That makes sense. Antarctic mission. Yeah, you got to do that.
Oh, he was in an Arctic. Okay, he was on an Arctic mission. Russian surgeon.
In the 1960s, he didn't have a choice.
Cold. Dude, AF. Appendicitis?
Cold as Finland.
Yeah, CAF. As they call it.
Cold as Finland.
I want to run back to this guy who, the urologist, you said he had achieved some fame within the community. What do you have to do to be famous in that community? If giving well,
what,
yourself,
what he said, he performed a vasectomy.
Right, but that was, you said that was some fame. Like, if that's some fame, like, what are the other guys doing?
No, what I just mean is he's not famous outside of the community. Like, he's not a well-known
human
being in pop culture. He just, in the DFW urologist community, is infamous.
He just, everyone knows that he's the guy.
Yeah, and he brags about it to his customers, or patients, or whatever.
Like, when he's about to do it, he's like, don't
he's
worry,
like,
man.
Just so you know, I did this to myself.
In a bathtub. So this is going to be a piece of
with,
cake.
With whiskey and a mirror.
So we, for you?
So for you,
it's going to be
so
easy.
Much easier. Yeah, like me with shaving people.
Yeah.
It's like, I could do this to me. I could definitely I do it to you.
Dude, I cut myself shaving right across my chin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah. So I can't say that.
You yeah, imagine it you looks have, like a gnarly scar.
Yeah,
actually.
It was pretty bad.
Did it bleed a lot?
Yeah. It was a single blade, like one of those safe,
a
like
marker.
Sure.
A safety razor.
Yeah, yeah.
And, ironically named.
But yeah. But I only had one blade, and I was going fast, and then I pulled it across my chin as I, like, I guess, moved forward. And it
so
just,
you didn't even mean to touch yourself.
No.
That's when cuts happen the most.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, in general, like with a straight razor, the only time I've ever really cut anyone was me, and I cut my hand most of the time because I wasn't trying to shave something.
Yeah, I wasn't.
And I was maneuvering around the blade and just whoopsie-daisy and cut myself.
Oh, and I felt it. Like, I felt meat. I felt like carving ham, and it happened so quickly.
It's like a laser beam, isn't it? Doesn't it feel like, it feels like.
Burns.
Yeah, yeah.
It's and then immediately,
sting.
Yeah.
It's like, it's such a visceral sting.
And immediately I was just like, oh, this is going to be bad. Like, I just had that feeling.
Stitches?
Like, that's wrong. No stitches.
I cut my hand on one of those, and I have one of those not because I'm cool. People, one time some guy saw that razor was like, oh my gosh, you have a safety razor? That's like really hip. And I'm like, it's the cheapest option.
Wait, is safety razor the one that looks like a pocket blade?
No, a straight razor.
Oh, that's
it's
a
It's the one with, like, you put the blade in, you screw the little thing.
Okay, yeah, that's what I have.
Double-sided, right?
Yeah,
double-sided. And anyways, he was telling me this.
What I recommend?
Like, I'm very Harry's. Cheap.
Go to harrys.com/the show. Sorry, Kyle.
The point is, I had it in my backpack for some idiotic reason, and I was rustling through my backpack at a red light trying to grab a cable to charge my phone because it was in there. And I poked myself, and I thought, man, that kind of hurt. And it was just gushing blood, and it bled for, like, 20 minutes, which is just, like, such a long time, right? 20 minutes of bleeding, just filling up the shirt. And eventually,
that's a lot of blood.
I had to go to, like, the urgent care because I started getting scared. And
why are you on the screen? It's hard for me to concentrate. I don't feel like you're talking to me.
Oh,
and
my
you're
gosh.
Kind of
but
the issue is
whenever I put this up on the screen, I'm going to throw y'all up, and then you guys are going to start looking at it.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine, too.
No, that's not fine. We can't all be looking at the screen.
We could.
That's bad. Well, the point is exactly what I was afraid of happened, which is you go to urgent care, you pay the money, you wait in line, and by the time the doctor
you're
sees you, you're still
screen.
Bleeding.
What's happening?
You're still bleeding, and you know what? they tell you you don't need stitches, and by the time that you actually see the doctor, you're done bleeding. They give you a Band-Aid and a prescription you don't fill, and it just sucks.
Do they numb you with the Novocaine stuff?
No, they didn't give me crap. They put gauze on it. It was a scam.
I had a friend who, he cut his finger really bad, the tip, and then he, a big chunk of it, and he had to go swimming in a big bowl of shrimp to find his little meat tip, and then he brought it with him, and he said the doctors were just shooting it with Novocaine. So he said it hurt worse than, he was like, I would have rather gone without the tip being reattached because it hurt so much worse.
I had a client recently woodworking and cut the tip of his finger off. He showed it to me.
All that for just the tip,
and
am
they,
I right?
They re-sewed it back on, and he showed it to me yesterday. He took the bandage off just so I could see it. And I got to tell you, I'd just rather not have it.
Yeah. I mean, PSA, you apparently can really reattach. You just grab the meat and throw it in the ice bag, and apparently it's pretty easy to reattach stuff like that.
He said he got it. He took it to the hospital. He did the thing. I don't think he did the ice. He said he doesn't think it's taken.
Ooh.
He showed it to me. It's a little blue.
He's just got a blue.
A little blue.
He's just got a blue tip there? Dang, dude.
Yeah, it's a little. And the nail, it had some of the nail on it. So it was like right, you know, like maybe the top fourth of his fingernail was that much of the tip of his finger. And he said that the fingernail of the tip fell off like the day before. And I was like, that's not a good sign.
No. Have you seen these blades now where they put a hot dog on it and it stops as soon as it senses the finger? Have you seen this? Pull this up, Kyle. There's a table saw now. I just don't know that I would trust it.
And it won't cut a raw hot dog.
No, it will not cut it. It somehow senses, I forget what, oh, it senses electrical current. So as soon as your skin gets close enough that it conducts a charge, there, yeah, here you go.
Yeah, I'm looking for like the 8-second
saw stop
video.
Hot dog. It will just stop. I don't know that you could pay me enough to try this with my own finger.
Billy Mays would have.
Yeah, Billy Mays would have done it on Coke.
Oh, that video.
That was it? Wow.
Dude, that was the worst. What are you doing?
Don't blame me, Juke. Juke comes by for the
you're
first time. This,
things,
I wasn't moving that one. Okay, I don't want to watch the 8-minute video.
Oh, look, he's going with his finger.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, saw stop demo. Here you go. Yeah, that was an 8-second YouTube video.
We're not getting any
See
load.
What I'm saying with this moving the thing? It's distracting.
Hit refresh.
See, this is why I don't like having it up on the TV. I just get judged.
No, you're doing fine.
Now we're going to catch an ad.
We need a little pressure.
Catch an ad? Hold on.
We're catching an ad.
Who doesn't have YouTube Red up
here? Me, I don't.
Get a life.
I know. How much is it? $8 a month? I can't afford
that.
What,
do you not brush your teeth?
What, do you not?
See, now we're not even
loading.
What is going on? We're not even loading.
Taking a multivitamin?
This is why I usually do it down below, and I only drag it up when it's ready.
Okay, drag it up.
What, do you not use?
Yeah, there we go.
See, now it's working.
Look at that dog. We get it, man. We get it. Show us the dog, man. We get it.
Get to it.
We're talking to him, Kyle, not you. This guy's like, so what we're going to pretend this hot dog is a finger.
Oh.
Look at that, dude. It just stops it.
And it cuts the board, too. You can see exactly when it stops.
But as soon as it gets close enough, boom. Now, I do see some dog moving, some moveage.
See, that is barely a nick on that
hot dog. He's so happy. He's like,
he's like, no, as you can see, it worked.
It
exactly
worked.
As expected.
You might need a Band-Aid.
We're going to be rich.
Isn't that wild, though? That's pretty cool. I don't know why all of them don't have this. Why do they not all have... I did something with a jigsaw. The jigsaw was through the board on the other side, and I was like, oh, let me help this piece of wood, and then it just like, right into my, I forget where it happened, but I remember that was alarming.
Yeah.
Because it like, I mean, it's got jagged teeth, like a shark on meth.
Do we even have an agenda here?
No. No, there's no agenda.
That's cool. All right.
What do you want to talk about?
Small talk.
Yeah, we are making small talk.
Right. Is that the name of the show now?
Yeah, Small Talk. Yeah.
Small Talk with Edmund Mitchell.
See,
I thought this would be funny, but it just made me feel like a jerk last time I pulled it out.
What, your food?
Yeah.
No, it's fine. I've done worse. What were we talking about, Kyle?
I mentioned that Duke went to a barber shop, like a barber conference, and I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, cool. I like just professions that have conferences that you just, like, don't expect. And I was curious what that barber conference was like.
A bunch of people with scissors.
Yeah. It was cool.
You gotta bring your mic down. Mm. Man, I've been thinking about getting a tattoo.
Really?
Yeah. My sister just got one. Just got a tattoo, and I've been thinking about getting a tattoo. Who do you go to? Right here.
I go to whom? I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
I go to a guy named Justin Gorby in Addison at Cat Tattoo. Check out Justin Gorby.
CatTattoo.com?
At Cat Tattoo in Addison.
Okay.
He's awesome. He was really, really good, and he's easy to work with. He's a nice guy. Like, you'll feel like you're having fun.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about the way he works is he moves quickly. Mm-hmm. So even though he's, like, a very established, worth the price that he charges, you get a lot more from him than you would from some other people and some other styles just because of how quickly he works. So,
yeah,
it doesn't feel like a ripoff, you know, especially when it's like art.
Yeah.
And like the guy can like, all right, well, we're going to do 7 hours now where I just do gray wash shading.
Does he do like the Sailor Jerry style stuff that you have?
He does, but that's not all he does. It's just what I'm into.
Yeah.
So he's done most of my tattoos for sure.
That's cool. This is a new one down here?
Looks
fresh.
Yeah, it's going to be it's the state flower of both Maine and Texas. It's a blue bonnet and a pine cone. That's the Maine state flower.
I like that.
The white.
My sister got some Roman numerals that are significant date on her arm, and I started thinking about getting, or I have been. And
older or younger sister?
She's 2 years younger. So I feel like I kind of have to follow.
Is it the day you moved out?
No, that was not the day I moved out. Kyle, would you get a tattoo?
Yeah, my grandfather had his, like, Buchenwald numbers on his arm there, like, you know, because he's in the camp, and my dad got it a couple years ago, and I think that'd be really cool.
Your dad added the numbers, like...
Yeah, like the same tattoo his dad had.
What?
Like,
my grandfather was in a concentration camp. And
so they tattoo, like, the numbers on him, and so he got...
So my dad
got... Jewish detainee?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, my family was Jewish. Have I never told that on the pod, that story?
I don't think so.
It's actually, like, far and away the coolest story I have. And it's not about me, which is, like, why it's actually cool. No, his name was...
I totally agree.
Henry Hochberg, and he was really young. He was probably 15 in Buchenwald. And what happened was, you got to understand, that back in this time, when you're a Polish Jew, that's where you go, and he's from Warsaw. And he managed to survive along with some other people, one of whom later starred in Hogan's Heroes, actually, because he was a violinist, and he was really good. He wasn't a prodigy or anything, but they didn't exactly have the internet there, right? So any sort of entertainment was thrilling to the guards, and he survived, and he would play in the death march as people went to the chambers.
Oh, gosh. You know, so they just kept him around to provide music to the...
Yeah, it was something to do for these bored guards. Dang. And he did that until he was like 16 or 17. MacArthur came in and freed everybody. He went out to Ellis Island, changed his name from Henry Hochberg, which is like the most Jewish name ever, to Henri Aubert, because his violin was made by a company named Aubert, and apparently French Jews are really rare, and he was worried there'd be like a second Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
So he changed his name to Aubert. Eventually met my grandma, had my dad, died of a brain tumor when my dad was like 16, so we don't really have a great firsthand account from him. But he never told my dad about it. My dad asked him about the tattoo once, and he said it was his friend's phone number, even though it was like one digit off, but my dad was not smart enough to pick up on it at the time. But I thought it'd be if my dad has it, I think it'd be a pretty cool tattoo to have.
I mean, that's kind of like a heritage legacy, like kind of remember where you come from.
That is wild.
Yeah.
And like, if anyone ever tried to like call me like racist or something, I could be like, check this out, like oppression Olympics, right? I think that'd be awesome.
Oppression Olympics.
But until that joke is no longer funny to me, I would never get it.
Part ways.
Yeah.
Because
I can't go there with you.
Yeah, Duke actually thinks that the casualties were grossly exaggerated.
No, that's not right? What I'm saying.
Well, you were just talking about that earlier.
No.
You weren't.
If you ain't got footage of it, it's not real. I've always said that.
Oh my gosh, that's a really cool story, Kyle.
Yeah, it is a cool story.
I don't know that I could have survived. Do you ever think about that, Kyle? If you could have survived?
You would have.
Why are you pointing at me and say you would have? Oh, I don't like
have you ever read the book Man's Search for Meaning?
Yeah, yeah. Viktor Frankl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's he talking about in that book?
He has if the people that had meaning made it through the camp, right?
No. He says the best of us didn't make it.
What?
Yeah, because they were the ones giving away their blankets and their morsels.
Oh, really? He says that in the
so
book?
So you would have.
You're saying I'm selfish?
Yeah, no.
Oh, man, that's not what he says in that book. No, I thought he says the ones that have meaning, that have like a meaning for the suffering, they're able to make it through.
Maybe emotionally or mentally, but the ones that were
giving away all their stuff, they died first?
Yeah, yeah, the people that cared for other people selflessly.
Dang, that's sad. That's not what I thought the book was about.
Yeah.
I must have skimmed that book. Kyle, do you ever think about whether or not you could have made it?
I don't think I would have been able to lead like the death march with my sister, my mom, and my dad. I think I would have refused and just taken the easy way out.
You would have?
Well, because he would lead the death march, and his family members were in the march at one point, right? Mm-hmm. And I think if they told me to play violin for the death march of my family, I'd flip them off and die too. I think I'd get shot.
Gotcha. Okay. So you would at some point take a stand that they would punish you with death.
Yeah. And I think on some level I would welcome the death.
It's interesting that you know. So you said Polish.
Polish Jews. Yeah.
There's a book. I'm gonna botch the title. I think it's called Ordinary Men. It's about Polish reserve police officers that are totally non-Nazis that go from being outstanding members of their community, like essentially like volunteer firefighters, mm-hmm. to, you know, from by anyone's standards, war criminals.
Yeah.
And they executed Jews and they shipped them off to these camps. Probably shipped your grandpa off. And, the book is basically about how none of these guys wanted anything to do with it, and how they were just doing the most heroic thing they could do, it like a frog in the pot sort of scenario, where it was like, hey, this is a time of war, and Germany's kind of taken over, and we're under this the Reich right now, and so it's going to be ugly, and it's basically them versus the Jews, essentially, yeah. So... even though we don't have any problems with peace or anything like that, like we got to round up the military age males. But because it's going to get weird, if you want out, your reservists, go home. We'll give you an honorable discharge. You don't have to serve anymore.
Yeah, but then you know you're getting rounded up, right?
No, because you're not a Jew. But here's what they were doing is they were looking to the men to the left and the right of them, and they're going, I'm not giving up on my men.
Yeah.
And so they were just doing their duty. Like they were literally like, no, I'm not going to leave serving my community. And so it was very terrifying and whatever. And it just kind of goes through this whole process of like, well, now we got to, you know, there's a lot of them. And so now we got to start sending them to these internment camps. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of find out what's going on and they're like, oh, geez. But like, they've already separated these guys and things, stresses are already high. I'm not doing it justice, but it's literally just about the psychological, like, millimeter by millimeter degradation of their own moral compasses.
Well, and also, I'm sure it just feels like
for the sake of loyalty.
I feel like you would feel like it's so large, like, there's someone out there doing this bad thing, and I'm just this, like, cog, and I can't do anything about it.
Right.
I need to just, like, get through this.
I don't have an ability to stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it explores that.
Yeah.
It explores how none of these men that were police officers turned enforcers in places like Warsaw. None of them were Nazis. None of them had any stake in the war. They didn't support Hitler.
Yeah.
Like this particular regiment, at least.
Yeah.
And how it was like they still did on paper all of these kind of horrible things, or at least like didn't stop anything, didn't move the needle in the right direction at all. And it was kind of exploring what their testimonies are, what it was like, how it got so bad, how it got so jacked up.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I identify with these guys, but, you know, and that's why I thought it was so interesting that you said your grandpa was from Warsaw. But one of the things that I take away from books like that or thoughts like that
is that we have this fallacy, this ability to separate ourselves morally from everyone that existed during that time.
Yeah.
Or like, I would never.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the truth is that the things you're doing now are just because of the society that you're in most of the time. Like 100 years from now, people will look at things that are pretty normal by today's standard as grotesque.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, what were they thinking? And they'll have the fallacy that they're somehow either morally superior to us or smarter than us, even worse.
Because it's easy
We're not being smarter.
Yeah, it would be easy in those situations to just say, well, like, there's really nothing I can do about it now, and this is out there, and I'm just here, and I'm just doing this one thing. And
I'm just trying to protect my wife and kids from the impending doom of the Nazis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I got to get rid of these Jews or whatever. Geez. Like, it sounds horrible.
It's just like, well, I mean, the country's taken over. Like, this isn't...
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe if we just give up all the... I didn't even read the book. I just saw this lecture that someone was doing on it, but... I think that it's an interesting idea, and I do subscribe to the idea that, like, no, I have to be very vigilant, and so do all, like, we should all be very vigilant of ideas like that, because, you know, we could make another Hitler pretty easy in our ranks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely like to read the book because, like, as you told it, just with, you know, very much, like, high level, it seems to me like there has to be a point where you realize, oh my gosh, we're the bad guys. But it's not fair for me to say that until I sit down and actually read the book, right?
Sure.
Because if it is the way you described it, so gradual, frog in the pot, and you really can't find that one point where it's like, no, that would have woke up if you're being honest with yourself. You can't judge that, right?
Yeah, and I think for the longest time, people just thought, well, Germans have this in them. Like, Germans have this capacity for evil, but and Germans we don't.
Thomas Sowell writes at length about how much the world owes Germany, like, in its people, just for, like, a lot of Western civilization, a lot of medical advancement, a lot of technological advancement. Like, World War II was won by German generals in the United States.
And then also the nuke was, like, we got the nuke technology. It was, like, ex-Nazi scientists, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
That was it? What were you talking about?
No, I mean, like, Germany? our generals... in World War II were German descendants. Like,
I didn't know that.
Like, a lot of our most prized battle strategists were German guys. Like, their grandparents were from Germany.
So they
spoke German.
And, like, the world owes Germany for all these...
Oh, I just mean, what Thomas Sowell writes about
it's
is,
a superior
like,
race.
That, like, the German Mennonite groups were the first to be like, slavery is bad.
Huh.
In the United States. Yeah. Like, there were some of the first communities to be like, we should probably get rid of slavery, like, completely. And we're like, Germany's so evil. And they're like, time and time again, moving to other places and kind of doing a lot of good. And not that all of these places are so bad that they're moving to, but just, like, generally being incredibly productive members of society and pushing things in the right direction. And how most of Germany didn't support Hitler. And, like, there's this terrible stigma against Germany, but that they're, like, they're totally not bad at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I went there. I didn't see any evil there in Germany when
I was
there.
They just got a guy recently. Will you look it up? Are you on the...
Well, they got a guy that did what?
He was, like, a guard or something in one of these camps. He's, like, 101, and they just sentenced him to, like, life in jail. I mean it, though.
Wow.
In Germany.
Shit.
Yeah, look at that.
Ex-Nazi guard convicted of over 3,500 counts
of accessory to murder.
Wow.
And he doesn't want his face shown.
He's got one of those school folders. Okay.
You know what's wild, though? Hear me out. Someone read this headline. Don't read any of it.
Okay.
Scroll up. I don't want to be able to see it on the screen. Someone read this headline in the barbershop. And immediately, Phi, who is Vietnamese, right? So, not a German. Nowhere near the conflict between Germans and Jews as far as racial heritage. And he immediately, and other people in the shop, but I thought it was interesting that he was one of these people that identified, right? And was like, well, you don't know if that guy was just whatever. Like, immediately defaulted, like...
To defending this guy?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I, for about 35 seconds, was on that side.
Well, basically, the book you were just referencing, like...
Sure, and I brought it up. I brought up Ordinary Man, or whatever the book's called. I'll never read it. No, just kidding. I want to read it. It's on my list. Anyway.
read the back cover.
Yeah, but long story short, I bring up that book and I'm like, you know, whatever. And as soon as I get done with it, I realize that I've biased, totally default biased, like, we don't know this guy.
Mm.
And then I realized, yeah, but they do. Like, I'm totally doubting their judgment on this guy.
They're like, no, we looked
into
him.
And then yeah, exactly. Like, I was like, hey, guys, like, but we don't even know anything about the case or anything. Yeah, like,
these guys do.
You could just read a brief synopsis of what happened in the courtroom probably and be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, screw that guy. Yeah.
He's got a doubt. Like, there's, we should probably stone him to death.
There's actually a reason we got the folder in front of his face. Yeah. So let's read. So what?
I generally default to, like, on the side of these guys should go to jail. So, like, I want to see if I'm right.
Well, I totally believe that, you know, it's possible.
So
he's denying it.
So this happened in Germany. They caught him in Germany.
Yeah, it's a German court.
I didn't know that they were still trying all of these people.
What we accused Germany of in 35 seconds after just hearing the headline was virtue signaling to the rest of the world. Like, hey, we got one. Just so you guys know, we're past this.
Yeah.
So there was some old identification documents that said he was a guard at, I'm not going to try to pronounce that because it looks.
Sachsenhausen.
Yeah, that's what it is.
They alleged he aided and abetted and murdered different groups of prisoners by firing some points, I guess. But so, yeah, I mean, like, what did happen to all these guards that were, like, we're just following orders? Like, I mean, they still tried them all, right?
You know, they're clearly after it. This guy denied he had been a guard, though, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's awful. 3,500.
He's 101. When did this happen? This year, right?
Yeah, this was a couple weeks ago.
So if he's 101... That means when he was born in 1923, which means he would have been in his 20s.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Late 20s.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 1946, 1947.
And right before he got caught, he was just on TikTok watching girls dance to...
1921 is when he was born.
Yeah, yeah. And he's on TikTok looking at memes of, you know, people with food in the microwave, and then he's arrested and has to serve out...
Loves Adam Sandler. Yeah.
What's funny to me, though, is he gets convicted of 3,500 counts of accessory to murder.
Yeah.
And 5 years in prison.
They sentenced him to 5 years?
For accessory. I
mean, yeah, he's 101, but, like, what is that? Like, a few minutes per murder?
I
like,
mean, when
the
you're
ratio 101, there.
Though.
But he didn't commit the murders.
Right. Accessory to murder, though. Like, I'm going to run the numbers here.
But when you're 101.
But it's accessory.
3,500 divided by 5 divided by 365. You should get, that's 1.91 days per accessory to murder. I'm going to go on the record of saying you should get at least a week and a half for that.
Per murder.
I think accessory
per
to murder
accessory.
Should
per
be at least a week and a half.
What are we talking about? Define accessory.
Yeah, what does accessory to murder mean?
Accessory to murder has a definition, and
does
whatever
that mean
the legal
just
one was.
Standing there?
You're going to go with whatever the legal definition is, even though...
Yes, because that's what he got charged with.
You may or may not have an understanding
with.
Of it in this moment.
It's a criminal defense. Yeah, when you help or assist a murder before or after, I think that should be more than a two-day
penalty. So if you
are
after what?
If you hand someone a gun...
Wait. Is a criminal defense whereby the perpetrator helps or assists a perpetrator before or after the commission of the murder?
Yeah, so someone's like, clean up these bodies. I killed these people. Clean them up, Juke. You're an accessory.
Okay.
Or if I'm like...
So hear me out now. Only because you took it here.
Yeah.
If I go dead. That's four dead Jews right there.
Yep.
Edmund.
Yes?
Take those bodies and put them in the ditch.
Sir, yes, sir. How high? I'll do it. Here we go.
Yeah,
how deep are we going?
Yeah.
6 feet? 8 feet this time?
Yeah. And if you're like, sir, why did you kill those guys? You want to be next? Put him in the ditch, I said.
I mean,
like,
Kyle, that's, I mean, is he that bad of a guy?
Like, that's a defense, but you still did that. You, like, yeah, you can be under duress and you can use that as a defense.
And you're saying that you think a week and a half per against your own will, having to drag dead corpses of people you know are innocent and put them into a ditch or whatever.
I mean, I think it's...
Yeah,
it's,
you can't do that. I think it is reasonable to say that you are not,
like,
allowed in a just society...
Bring him here so I can kill him, right? That's accessory,
like,
too.
They're like, pick
him. I gave him the most beneficial part of it. Hey, go pick five of them.
Yeah, go pick... pick your top five.
No, that is definitionally wrong, and you cannot do that and deserve to get in trouble for doing that, I think.
Yeah, so, like, what you're saying is the moral thing to do is to just resist the government, resist the... Right, Kyle? It's just like...
Yeah, that's absolutely what you have to do. And I understand that that's very difficult to do. I understand that, you know, it's very easy for me to say that from a podcast studio. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But if you're asking what the right thing is to do, it is not to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. You're right. Well, not to...
Sure, but it's weird that the same government that told him to do it is the one sending him to jail for 5 years.
Well, it was reparations.
But for him serving that government.
Yeah, that's Kyle. That's German, where it gets weird
the
because
German
like,
government.
Because what if he never killed anybody? He's just
he
like
worked for
I
the
just,
German government.
He literally is. He's using the broom. He's using a mop.
But that's what my point is. That's why we accuse Germany of virtue signaling. Is they're going, this isn't the same government, and we'll try these guys.
Yeah,
even if they're 101,
we'll get them,
and we'll give them nothing but a blue folder to hide their faces.
Man, I think though, Kyle, if you're 101. Every year of sentencing is like 10 years in normal person life.
This guy's not making
every day
it
and a
5 years.
Is a week and a half.
Yeah, every day and a half is a week and a half, Kyle.
No, I
mean,
think
he's not going to live much longer.
I don't think that punishment should be prorated based off of age, right? I think they should throw him in for life.
Limitations? What's the statute of limitations on accessory to murder? Come on.
What's the statute of limitations on World War II?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
I don't think Nazism deserves a statute of limitations. If you were rolling with Hitler and his boys in a camp, statute of limitations should not exist.
Within the last couple years, our last Civil War widow died.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You want to fact check that?
That
one,
was the thing,
Kyle?
That happened.
Sure.
I've seen Remember
I
the
think
Titans.
She married the 79-year-old Civil War vet when she was like 19.
Dang.
So she wasn't alive.
Yeah, she died in 2020 at the age of 101.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
She was on the Union side, though, her husband
good.
Was.
Okay, that's good.
That's positive. So she had... The reason it was news is because she was a benefactor of his pension. So they had... Back then, they would extend it to your spouse, your surviving spouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's pretty clear that at that point, you're 19, this Civil War vet is 79. Whether he's in on it or not, you're taking advantage of the fact that...
Wait, he was 79?
And she was 19 when they got married.
Oh, so she wasn't even alive during the Civil
Not
War.
Not even close.
Gotcha.
Not even her parents.
Gotcha.
Her parents weren't alive.
She probably hadn't even
Civil
seen
War.
The Patriot.
Right.
Mel Gibson.
Well, they wasn't out yet.
Yeah, she didn't even see the. She didn't even know about it.
Yeah, Mel Gibson wasn't alive yet when they got married. You lunatic!
Oh shoot! So I get that. Okay.
So Civil War happens.
She's benefiting from the Civil War.
So Civil War happens. Let's say the guy is. Let's say it's as long as it could have been.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's say he was like 20.
Yeah.
Maybe 18. And then he's 79, has a pension, because we won.
Still from the Civil
North
War.
The North wins.
How much is it? Is like 8 nickels a day still?
Oh,
like
it goes up with inflation? I happen to know this because I was in the military.
Okay, it goes up with inflation?
All pensions go up with inflation.
What kind of Civil War pension do you think they were giving out, though, back then?
Just like a retirement, basically.
No, I know, but do you think it was like bigger than what we give out now? Or like?
Well, I think cost of living was probably a lot less.
No, I know, but I'm saying like proportionally to...
I think it would probably be like... Because it's considered, this is all just guessing. That's first of all. I'm speaking from zero grounds of authority.
Because you think the population of the army now, or the military personnel, there's way more military personnel now than there were back then.
Yeah.
So we got to cut these pensions kind of a little tighter, right?
No, here's what I'm saying is things are so cheap. All right. I think it's pretty comparable.
Okay.
I think the fact that they're calling it, this is again guessing from very little experience. The fact that they're calling it a Civil War pension makes me think that this guy was offered a pension because of either some sort of medical disability or something that happened during the war.
Okay.
So he serves honorably. Maybe he's awarded. Maybe he's a hero.
Yeah.
Gets out. They're like, hey, we're going to retire you even though you're 20.
Yeah.
Because you gave it up on the line.
You gave it all.
Not all. If you gave all.
Okay.
That's like Medal of Honor
stuff.
You
gave it your all.
He gave it everything that was required of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we're going to retire you full retirement, mm-hmm. which means whatever rank he was, that's what they're paying him. So that would, let's say he was an E4, right?
That's what I was thinking.
That means that when she died in 2020, she's getting 100% retirement of what an E4 would get if they did 20 years in the military. Now, you can't retire as an E4 at 20 years, But back then, before like the 80s even, of the 20th century, you would have, if you retired at 20 years, you would have gotten 100% of your paycheck. Mm. So they changed that. But she would have been getting like $4,000 a month.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's my guess.
But that's, but also to be, to not even be alive during the Civil War and then...
Right, but to also be 19, totally have your entire working history. She probably remarried three times.
Kind of a girl boss. Saying?
So she was 19 when she married him at 79?
Yeah, and then he dies, obviously.
Yeah.
And then she just has this pension because she's a widow for forever.
So he must have been in on this, right?
Like, I assume.
Do you think... Yeah,
it was either like, that or I got he was like, he wasn't in on anything anymore. And they were like, sign the dotted line, buddy. She loves you a lot. He's like, I love her too.
For the record, he was 93. She was 17.
What?
93.
93?
17.
Yeah, dang, his rationale was that he had no money to pay for his care. And if married, she could get the pension after his death.
Oh, so he says, if you take care of me, I'll marry you, and you can have the pension.
That's smart, though. That's pretty smart.
And less corrupt, kind of.
That's pretty
healthcare
smart.
Healthcare is such a nasty business,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
She's on the Marsh.
The government to get your healthcare.
She's on the Marshfield, Missouri Wall of Fame for scamming the government so hard she's locally famous. That's honestly like a real...
Dude. What is it called? The what hall of
the
fame?
The Marshfield, Missouri Walk of Fame.
For people that have... And this is all about like local celebrities.
He's just regurgitating our words for scamming the government.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was adding. I wouldn't say regurgitating.
So, but the Wall of Fame, of Fame is just anyone that's famous. I thought it was literally a wall for people that have done tax evasion. Like, it's like this girl and Wesley Snipes. Like, I thought that's what it was going to be.
Yeah, her, Wesley.
Trump.
Trump, for sure.
Yeah, Grant Cardone.
Bezos.
Dang, that's crazy. That's pretty smart, though. I mean, maybe he didn't have anyone to really take care of him. And, like, what do you, you mean you just, like, sign the paperwork? I mean, what do you care? And then you get $4,000 a month for the rest of your life.
Well, at the time of her death, it would have been, like, $4,000.
Yeah.
But it would have been equivalent to that almost the entire time, just a lot less.
Yeah.
You know, 101 years ago. Well, I guess not that long ago. She was 17?
17.
So what's that? 84 years. She got a pension.
She was 17 when he was 93, and... Dang,
she took care of him, though.
Dang. But can you imagine? Imagine where you were at 17.
She held a pillow, wouldn't you, a little bit? she was definitely motivated.
Can you imagine, though, being 17?
I'll take care of her.
Can you imagine, though, being 17 and having some... Like, I was in high school.
Wait a minute. The story has completely changed.
I don't think she was allowed to go to school back then.
Story has completely changed. I actually started reading the article. Out of respect for Mr. Boland, she kept the marriage secret from most people and continued to use her maiden name and live with her parents. After his death, she never claimed the pension because of her reputation and accusations of taking advantage for him. And it was only in the final 3 years of her life she decided to embrace her place in history as the last Civil War widow. So she didn't do it for the money. She did it solely for the clout at the end there.
Wow. But, I mean, is she technically a Civil War widow, though? I mean...
Yeah.
Technically.
Technically is the right word.
Yeah, but I mean, like, some of those other Civil War widows, don't you think they kind of, like, look up?
You mean practically was she a Civil War widow? Yeah,
practically she was.
No, no. Technically
she was. Oh, technically she was, but practically.
Yeah, yeah.
I think some of those other Civil War... Yeah, some of those other Civil War widows are going to kind of, like, look at her and be like,
yeah,
we really sacrificed a lot. Like,
it's also weird that you would have married him at all if you were never going to accept the pension, though.
I think she was genuinely a good person.
Yeah, but then why... Oh, maybe
no,
she just
told
him.
I think this is stolen valor. I'm starting to go the other way with it.
She's just in bars. She's like, another round for the Civil War widow.
I know him. He was 93 and he married me.
Oh, man.
But I never claimed it because I'm a good person. Well, then why did you marry him? And live with your parents.
Yeah, it's
strange. It doesn't make any sense.
It's strange.
No, I think she's lying,
yeah,
obviously.
It's strange. She was collecting.
I don't think so.
Maybe the money is strong, but like the slut shaming of the 1800s was like stronger. Ooh. Like that was just not worth it.
Wait, you think
to
she
her.
Wasn't collecting the money?
She wasn't. That's a
fact. Well, what do you think she was lying about?
that they got married and that she was a widow. I think she just knew the guy.
Oh, so you think she never married?
Yeah, how perfect is that? The last 3 years of her life, and she's like, no, and we were married, so I'm technically a widow. I'm
technically the last Civil War widow.
Yeah.
Who's the second to last Civil War widow? Do you think
Unless
she knew
her? Found documentation. If they found...
Can you imagine at the golf club, there's a woman that's starting to go like, technically I'm the last Civil War widow. And she just hates that woman. She's like, no, I am. And just lies about marrying this dude.
See?
Just to, like, get one over on her.
Yeah, you get it.
Man, now I get it.
I feel like they probably...
got the flap.
I think that, like, Civil War veterans committees are, like, the sort of folks who are like, we want documentation. You may be probably able to forge it, but that seems like people who are by the book.
But all she has to do is say, hey, what documentation? It was the Civil War, man.
No, it wasn't. It was almost 100 years later.
She just has to say, it's the Civil War, man. It was tough.
Yeah.
We don't have documentation.
Yeah. Yeah. The Civil War was legitimately, if that guy was 20, he could have been 18. But let's say he was 20 when the Civil War happened. Well, I think we could do it back. When did the Civil War end? What year? Let's run it back.
I think it was 1964 when we landed on the moon.
All right, James. Oh, he was 93 in 1865. Oh, no, that's not true. When did they get married?
Hold on. They got married 84 years before 2020.
So the Civil War ended in... What are we guessing?
Civil War ended in 1865. We know that.
So in 65, the war is over, right? So if the war is over in 65... 1865. Okay. So 2020, what's 84 before 2020? 84 years before 2020. Because that's when that broad was 17.
Yeah, if you're talking about women in that age, you got to say
1936.
Broad. Very cool.
So they got married in 1936 when he was 93.
Yeah.
So he's 93. We got him docked at 93 in 1936.
Yeah.
So how old was he in 1865? He's 93 and 36.
I don't know, Dad. The math.
What's 36 minus 93?
Okay. 36 minus 93, 57.
So he was 57 at the turn of the century, and it's 35 years before that. So what's 57 minus 35?
I don't know, man. I'm so bad at math. 22?
So he was 22. Dude, I was freaking close, bro. If there's one thing I know, it's these vets, dog. And they be marrying young, dude. Their age. They do. They do. It's just weird that she never claimed the pension. It's just weird.
Yeah, this is kind of strange.
Why would you marry him? That was the whole deal.
She never married him. I think what happened was
for love.
She was at the bingo club, and one of these ladies starts yapping about how she's going to be the last. Yeah,
flapping ladies.
She's going to be the last Civil War widow. And what's her name? Whatever her name is, she's like
Margaret.
She's like
Helen Jackson.
Helen.
Helen is like, you know what?
What a beautiful old-fashioned name.
Helen was like, you know what?
Very Jewish, too.
She's like, I hate that Eustace.
Oh, just kidding.
I knew a Civil War vet. I took care of him. I'm going to take last widow.
Yeah.
And she just had one over on her. She's like, yeah, I married somebody.
Or that lady died. And when she died, that lady just took her story.
And she spit on her grave.
I think that would be tough. Like, if you
prove it, Helen,
you had this pension allegedly, and you're working whatever your dead end job you're working as a woman at this period in time, knowing that you could just say the word and get the bag for
forever. Right? Like, why not? Why not take? Well, she said the stigma, but no one has to know.
Do you still have the title of widow if you remarry?
Good question. These are the questions people are afraid to ask.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think.
Well, you're technically still a widow.
I don't think so.
Technically,
it's a title.
Technically,
most women never.
You've been widowed. You are still widowed. Your husband's. You have a new husband.
But you can be married and then not married anymore. Can you be widowed and then no longer a widow?
No, because you're still widowed because your husband is still
sure.
According to the IRS, you are not a widow. According to the IRS,
so in the tax code, you're no longer a widow. Okay.
So if she had ever gotten married again, she couldn't have claimed that pension
as the widow. Oh,
now you understand. So I don't think it was about slut shaming because if homegirl wanted that pension, she was going to have to really lock it up.
Yeah,
she was going to have to close up shop for good.
For good.
17.
Man.
Yeah, your whole life's ahead of you.
That's a lot.
Do I want a man or do I want Uncle Sam to be my husband?
To be my man.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't tell anyone about that marriage. She could have not told anyone about this.
I got a whole life ahead of me. I just won't tell anybody.
Yeah.
I'm not a widow. That's ridiculous. And then she went and lived a totally normal life for 84 more years.
And then right before she goes out, she's like,
you know,
I'm a Civil War widow.
Yeah. Isn't that weird that we have electric cars and I'm a Civil War vet? I mean, widow.
Widow.
Imagine you're like hanging out with your grandma who's like super old, right? She's that old and she goes, you know, by the way, I'm a Civil War vet. I'd be like, go back to bed. I would never ever believe that if I'm like the grandson at the nursing home and grandma starts telling me she's like a minor celebrity.
Like, sure, Helen, prove it.
Yeah.
Prove it, Helen. She's like, here's a picture of me and him. It's like, you were 17 and he was how old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that sideways photo of her in that black gown. And they're like, that's not you.
That's
and she's like, everybody dressed like this then. All right, so speaking of your grandpa being Jewish, my wife's maiden name is Kaiser. Totally not Jewish.
Okay.
That's very German, actually. Mm-hmm. And you see her bio dad, and you're like, oh, that's a he's what Hitler was after.
Really?
Yeah. He was blonde and blue-eyed, you know?
Oh, in that sense. Tall. Oh, like what he wanted.
That was the vision. That was the vision.
Yeah, the Aryan race.
However, my mother-in-law's maiden name is Fink, which, as you may know, is Austrian Jew.
Mm. So pretty different from Kaiser, that one.
Yeah, but same part of the woods, same neck of the woods. German-speaking Jews. These are German Jews. These are the ones that Hitler was after.
Dude.
So what's wild is I have always called my and I would have asked you if you were Jewish if you had given me any indication, Kyle, because it's obvious, but and in the most endearing best way. I don't even mean that like ironically derogatorily. Like I mean like that's it checks out. Like you told that story and I go yeah that makes sense. I believe that 100%. My wife gives me that vibe too. Like my wife and I've always joked around about it because it didn't make a lot of sense logically.
Yeah.
But just my gut feeling of, you know, I'm from New England. I spent some time around some Jews, right? like I was like, hey, you're a Jew, broad. Like, I don't know if you know that. And it's always just kind of been this silly thing that I would have never uttered outside of the the safety of our home.
Yeah.
But one time I did get comfortable enough to joke with her grandmother about it.
Okay. This is the Austrian Jew.
The Fink side.
The Fink side.
And she was like, immediately like, well, yeah, yes. And I was like, what do you mean, yes? She's like, they were German Jews. We were German Jews. Like, that's how she kept saying it.
Yeah.
We're German Jews. And to my naive, like, 23-year-old ears, I was like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But of course it makes sense.
Yeah, because that's where they were.
right, yeah. Yeah, yes. And so the more I thought about it, the more I was literally like, Emily, you're like Jewish on your mother's side. They would have put you on the train for sure.
For sure.
And she was like, I don't think that that's true. And I have never heard anybody in my family say that. And I was like, your grandmother told me.
Yeah.
And she was like, because I'd always joked about it before, she was like, this is a bit. She really believed it was a bit for a long time until I was like, dude, we have the internet. Let's just look up Fink.
Yeah.
And that was like, she was like, And I go, your grandmother really said that to me at Far Park, like in Grapevine. Like she said that to me. It was, her grandmother has passed away.
Dude, so
like, within
she kind
a year
of
telling me that.
So she kind of had like a Jew coming of age, coming, like a coming out, kind of like discovering
she
her.
She doesn't identify.
Oh, okay.
She
identifies more on the Aryan side.
I think she's more American.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So wait, but that's kind of like a Romeo and Juliet, like the Aryans and the German Jews like marrying together like that. That's a love story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely some sort of Romeo and Juliet's a good one. I was going to say recompense, right? Like a
yeah.
Like sort of
reparations?
A harmonious rekindling of a healing, if you will.
Yeah. Like if Hitler
would definitely points to a healing of some sort.
I think so.
Which like, only the United States could facilitate, like as we know throughout history.
Like if Hitler would have married Barbara Streisand, I think it would have smoothed it all
about
over.
That. I don't want to go there with
It would
you.
Have smoothed it all
it
over.
It makes me uncomfortable.
We're going to do recommendations, Kyle. Do you have recommendations?
But if...
What?
I shouldn't.
But if Mel Gibson married Barbara Streisand, now
that
I'm
would
a lot
smooth
more comfortable,
it all
at least
over.
With the joke.
Okay, all right. Okay, I get it. Openly Christian man.
Or Barbara Walters. I would have taken that.
Okay, all right.
Is she Jewish? I don't know.
The,
it sounds- I'm not a subject matter expert on Judaism. I don't Kyle. Even know all of the things that they believe, really. I'm so uneducated, but I've just been enough around, and not even around people who are, like, religiously Jewish, mm-hmm. but just, like, ethnically Jewish, mm-hmm. that I feel like, you know, I could spot one in the lineup.
Have you ever been to a bar mitzvah?
No, that's what I'm saying. Never, I've never spent a lot of time around people practicing
yeah.
religiously.
Yeah, yeah.
Judaism.
In high school, I knew a few people that were Messianic Jews. Like, they discovered that their ethnicity was Jewish, but they were Christian. And so then they started going to, like, they were really Christian, super Christian, then found out their ethnicity, and then started going to this, like, Messianic Jewish church where it incorporated a lot of Jewish traditions and customs. But they believe in the J-Dog.
Wow.
They believe that he was
completed
God.
Completed Jews, that's what they call them.
Yeah, yeah, completed Jews. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I have been
that was really interesting.
To a couple.
Yeah. There's a community nearby that Brittany and Allie went to a Passover or a Seder with them.
I've been to a couple Passovers with my cousins. They're pretty cool. They do this thing but where like they legit, hide the matzah bread, and I found it.
Legit Jewish Passovers or just like a Christian fake Passover?
No, it was like a legitimate deal. We did the entire thing. Like,
okay.
It was cool because the youngest person gets to drink this wine.
And those diners, I'm in love.
Dude, the craziest part about the Passover thing, we would do it at my house. I don't know. I mean, this is kind of controversial because it's like, is it appropriation or whatever? But we would do like a small one at my house. And man, you drink wine like 8 times throughout that whole thing.
Whoa.
I drink
what do you mean appropriation? What part of it is it appropriation?
I think some people think that if you're not Jewish and you're trying to celebrate the Passover, I think some people would probably say, you're not supposed to do that. I know there are some people that think that. I don't think that. I think it's fine. Like, you know, if I'm going to have...
Jesus was a Jew, right?
Yeah, if I'm going to
and you worship him?
Yeah.
And if and that was his culture. He was a Torah-abiding yeah,
exactly.
Jew.
If I'm going to make stir-fry in my house, it's not appropriation of Asian culture.
Actually, I would say it is, but that's okay.
And it's okay. Yeah, okay.
No,
gotcha.
No. Here's my point is, appropriation is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Our culture... Well, unless, of course, you totally disagree with Western civ.
Mm-hmm.
If you think Western civilization is evil, which, you know, I can't help you.
Yeah.
Then, okay. Then your argument stands up that appropriation and imperialism is bad.
Yeah, yeah.
However, it's why Western civilization rocks and
it's so cool. Yeah.
It's because it takes all of everybody's good ideas.
Yeah.
And you know, appropriation, this whole idea of cultural appropriation, it's like, well, what is culture? We got to define culture. You could definitely get lost in that argument of what it is, like trying to nail down that goalpost.
Yeah, yeah.
However, for just a moment, I would say that appropriation of culture definitely transcends races, nations.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so much larger than that from any perspective of like a market. Like the skater that's like, why are you wearing etnies? Do you even skate, bro? You freaking poser. That was like the culturally appropriation. Like it's painful for a subculture. Now hear me out though.
Yeah, yeah.
A majority group has to accept something in order for it to be largely profitable.
Mm.
Otherwise, there's no market, right? Unless you narrow the market by making it incredibly expensive, like Scientology, right?
Yeah, yeah.
However, outside of that, in order to monetize something, it has to become popular.
Yeah.
And in order to become popular, at least some of the largest market, no matter how you divvy that up, whether it's race or income or whatever, has to accept it or at least have access to it.
Yeah.
So the problem is that when that happens, they don't get it. They don't understand why it's cool. They're really just following a trend.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they bastardize it. Yeah. They totally degrade the origin and the actual meaningful culture part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredibly painful for the subculture.
Yeah.
So if you take etnies and you wear them, or you take like the Y-backed muscle shirts, like, do you even lift, bro? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like any of that stuff. If you appropriate somebody's culture because it's cool and trendy and you don't understand the reference, people of that subculture that identify or belong to
it
will be pissed.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's okay. Like, like I acknowledge that. I've been on that side of it in lots of situations in my life. Like, whether it's because I'm a veteran and people who are not veterans are like Boogaloo. Boogaloo was just about firefighting.
Mm.
Like, right? Like, a Boogaloo was, like, about combat. And so, like, Special Forces guys were like, it's time for the Boogaloo, right? And there was this meme floating around the internet for a long time that was George Washington talking to the rest of, like, you know, the frilly shirt, you know, powdered wigs that were all about to sign some stuff, right? And he was like, So then I told King Henry to tax this dick, and I started the first boogaloo. Right? Like that was the meme, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's hysterical. Well, then this, like, these Antifa guys, or I don't even know what the names of these organizations, but this, like, you know, homegrown terrorist organization during all the BLM riots a couple years ago started using the term boogaloo, actually properly, but in reference to their own agenda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In reference to, like, what happened at the Capitol where they stormed the Capitol.
Yeah.
And technically those are boogaloos, right? Like, not really, but... Not even. It's kind of a that's taking that word and cheapening it because you guys didn't fire a single shot.
Yeah,
like you weren't actually fighting. You weren't actually in war.
Like you hijacked the term,
right, from the special forces community.
Yeah.
And I almost named Close Knit Barbershop Boogaloo Barbershop because it's such a cool name.
Yeah.
And literally, this is in 2020 that this is happening. This is all unfolding in real time, and I'm like, "Yo, Boogaloo Barbershop," and I'm gonna put banana leaves on the wall. Like it's gonna be hot. And literally, I just kept googling it. And nothing, no business had ever existed under that name. And I was like, I can get boogaloo.com, I'm pretty sure. And then all of a sudden, bloop, somebody had written like a, I don't know if it was Urban Dictionary or some more official form, but someone was like, a term used for violence against the government, used by hate groups. That was the part that really kicked me in the nuts.
Yeah.
Is it had officially been appropriated.
Yeah.
And that was very painful for me.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that wasn't the origin of the word. It was really about people that were in a fight. Like, and most of the wars that we've ever fought were liberating other peoples.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the wars we've ever fought have been about spreading democracy and freeing, you know, oppressed peoples from their tyrannical forces.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it was like being a warfighter for the United States was a very positive idea. And entering the boogaloo with cavalier and jeans and an ammo belt,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like the most John Rambo thing. I don't even know if his first name is John. I don't know why I said John. I think I was trying to go for John Wayne and Rambo at the same time.
We John can combine Rambo. Those. John Rambo.
I think John Rambo is his name.
Now, baby.
It's Rambo's son.
John Rambo thing you yeah. could do.
John Rambo stormed the Capitol.
Which is put on jeans and a friggin' ammo belt.
It's kind of like the words have a fluid. I mean, words have fluid meaning. They change over, and you have to be aware of what the word
exactly.
means. Yeah.
So, like, was it painful in the moment? Yeah, but I just came up with something else.
What'd you come up with?
In Close Knit Barbershop.
Oh,
you dummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was kind of the whole. I mean, it wasn't that moment. It was actually the skater thing that made me start thinking about appropriation
yeah.
and about how our language, our culture is so deeply rooted.
It's in all that, appropriation.
But yeah, it's imperialistic.
Yeah, yeah.
So like our language is that way.
Yeah,
Fiance sounds way better than the English word. Do you guys know the English word for fiance? That's a French word.
No, what? What's the English word?
Betrothed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you've heard of it.
Okay.
It yeah. just sucks. So we're like, wait, what do you guys call fiance? That sounds that's pretty.
Yeah, fiance.
That's how it is now.
Fiance.
Hey, but you guys got to put a little above the C or whatever yeah, yeah. it is, or the E, I don't know.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, we'll do that. That's not even in your alphabet. Yeah, yeah. we'll do it, though.
But that's literally...
Jalapeno.
The United States is appropriation. Like, that is what the United States...
But is it appropriation if it's a bunch of those authentic people coming together?
Well, that's what I mean is, like, everyone's doing it with each other.
We
like
call it a melting pot. We realize yeah, the yeah, beauty yeah. that is totally. There. But there's a paradox. We're doing something that's never been done before. That's why it's so painful.
Yeah.
Is the paradox is, how do you have Chinatown without segregation? Like, how do you get authentic Mexican food without a Mexican neighborhood? But can you have a Mexican neighborhood if there's lots of other people living there that aren't Mexican?
Yeah.
We haven't figured out how to do that.
Well, it's like, can a French person make an authentic Mexican meal?
Sure, if yeah. they're trained yeah, properly, yeah. but exactly. that's not the question I'm asking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how do you get Korean-owned businesses, Korean authentic food cooked by Koreans in a Korean-speaking neighborhood? How do you get K-Town in Dallas
yeah.
without segregation, without keeping out people who aren't Korean from opening businesses
well,
on
you
that
can't.
Block?
Well, that's what I'm saying. But that's why I was saying about
it's
the French thing is you can't.
Because in one hand, we are totally against segregation.
Yeah.
And nobody in their right mind in today's sensibility would go, oh, no, I understand the value of segregation. You'd be ostracized immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
However, we look around and we see all of these authentic parts of culture being preserved through segregation.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a paradox because none of us can openly go, well, sometimes you got to protect that.
Yeah.
Even though we are kind of trying to figure out how to.
Yeah.
And yet, when the wrong person does it, we go, oh, that ain't for you, player.
Well, it's like you have to protect the idea of, I think France is going through this a lot, where they talk a lot about how, like, a true Frenchman. Like, if you're here, you have to speak French. Like, to be a citizen, you have
Germany's
to speak
French.
Yeah, and
Germany's
so,
taking refugees left and right, but they're like, you got to learn German.
Exactly, though. Yeah. And it's like you have to preserve the idea of this of what we mean by Germany, because if we just have like a global economy and we're all mixing, if the whole world is a melting pot.
But that's my point is, we've come so far so early on that it would be, we already feel like it's taboo to go, you have to speak English. Like, that's already not on the card, on the table for us. Because of all the negative stigmas of like, speak English.
Yeah.
Like, but as you're saying, French is like, you got to know French. That's like the number one. We need a language to unite us for sure.
Yeah,
it just happens to be English. It's not better than any other language. But it is English for the record.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, let's just commit.
Yeah.
However, as soon as you say, we've got a language, we've got an identity, I think you start banding together. I think real things start happening. Like, Italians came over here. And instead of cooking the food that they cooked in their region of Italy, which was regional cuisine, by the way, it's not like they're cooking the same stuff all throughout Italy. It's like they took the same sensibilities and did the same things here and created some of the most American dishes, like Italian beef.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, almost every piece of culture is born out of necessity and hardship.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bourgeois going, here's how we're doing it now. Although that's how we think about trends. We think about trends as like being designed by corporations. And sometimes they are, but only the cheapest, most disposable versions.
Yeah.
The stuff that has staying power, the perennial sellers of iconic culture, are always born from turmoil. They're born from the poor. The poor immigrant, no matter what he looks like, whether he's European or not, or, you know, that's but that's what I mean is don't exclude the European from that. Yeah. The immigrant is who does the culture. And that's beautiful.
Mm.
And America loves an underdog. We love that story. So the fact that we can't celebrate that openly is totally us just shooting ourselves in the feet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the idea of having a bastardized last name, it doesn't, like we imagine like the Asian person coming over and being like, oh, here I'm Bill. Because you guys can't even try.
Yeah.
But it's like learning languages is difficult, first of all. It's a very generous thing to do to, like if I went to Mexico and they were like, oh, here that's Mateo. I'd be like, okay, Mateo, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas, like, if you go to, like, for example, we're so arrogant here about that kind of stuff, about culture. If you go to Japan and you just try and you totally butcher the language, they lift you up on their shoulders. They celebrate you. Like, look at this guy trying to be cultured. He's the man. Like, welcome. Have some tea or whatever. Yeah. But here, you mispronounce something and you just get ostracized immediately. Like, what? How did you say it? Say it again, you idiot. Now, I've heard that there's other countries that are totally like that about their own language. Like France, I've heard.
Yeah.
Is like, if you can't speak French, dude.
Don't even try.
They're going to rip you apart.
Yeah.
However, like, we shouldn't be like that.
No.
We should totally, because that's not how you learn. That's not how you, that's not how you preserve the culture. Like, you have to, like, be open to people trying things and failing and learning. Otherwise, imperialism wins, and it if it becomes a path of most resistance, I'm avoiding it.
Do you think there is the fear that if you're trying to preserve the Korean culture in Dallas, Texas, that you let in all of this, all of these different influences, then it's no longer Korean culture? Like,
sure, but at what point do we have American culture that just totally takes from that? Because everybody's welcome here, right? That's the idea.
Yeah.
Like, is it the idea or not? Like, I'm tired of people going like, well, America isn't for us. Like, and I understand that pain, but my point is, like, well, at what point do you not just decide what America is?
Mm.
You know? Like, that's how it got started, by the way.
Yeah.
Is, like, the guys, like, the founding fathers or whatever, they weren't Americans. Mm. How could you possibly think that?
Yeah.
So it's up to us every day, right?
Yeah.
Like, every day we got to be like, no. Like, my family's last name is O'Hugan. It's Higgins. I mean, it's super white, right?
Yeah.
It's Irish. It's Southwestern Irish from County Kerry.
Mm.
Like, I am not Irish. I'm American. Like, they clearly didn't think it was so great. They came over here, right? Like, all right, cool. So I got some heritage here.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice to know because America is such a history full of that.
Yeah.
Of people coming, right? But at the same time, like, I'd rather know about what we're doing here and, like, my family in Maine and how they started off as potato farmers because that's what they knew from the other side.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much more interesting to me how we became American, right? Because you can become American. That's the kind of the beauty of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter where you start. You can become American.
Yeah.
That's kind of our whole rule.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Give us something. You could be American.
Yeah.
Sure. Come on over.
Come on over.
You know stuff? Even better.
Get over here.
Or you just like, we're doing really well right now. We just need some people that aren't doing as well as us, so they'll work.
Yeah.
Oh, that's you. You want to be doing better? We got AC.
Do you think if you if it plays out for another couple hundred years that America you could take
a chance?
Well, but you could take an American and plop them into another country, and that American does have a more unified culture, like. Because right now, it's like, it still has this, everyone has come here. Like, people still talk, oh, these were Irish, these were French, these were this.
No.
But, like, if you, eventually, do you think you could take an American and put them in another, and like, oh, this they have American culture. They're bringing American culture.
I think people are so tribal by nature that all of the concepts that I'm, like, wistfully romanticizing are pipe dreams. Because it's so against our nature to think that way. It's taken me a long time to even come to those conclusions of like hip hop's American, country music's American, the automobile's American, the airplane is American. Mm-hmm. Like I don't like blood transfusions are American.
Yeah.
Like peanut butter's American. Like so many things that it doesn't matter if you're black or white or some other kind of immigrant, like they were Americans that did it, and I wanna be like, that's my dude right there.
Yeah.
Or female, you know what I'm saying?
Female.
That's my chick right there. That's my broad. That's what's up, girl. Yeah, do your thing.
Skirts whoever for it is. Life.
But my point is, like, we feel skittish about that. Mm. We feel skittish about being like, yo, the jazz community, the hip hop community, those are intrinsically Americans, and I want to lift those things up as look at our culture.
Yeah.
Because what are you saying? Where are you from? Like, how'd you grow up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you grew up listening to that? It's like we're so critical of each other because of our tribal nature, right? Like, it's like I get that all the time from my country folks because I was not raised in country music or anything like that. I've only recently started appreciating bluegrass, right? Yeah. Like, it's such a foreign thing to me that I'm dipping my toe into. Rock is kind of the same. I really did grow up listening to hip-hop mostly. Mm. But, like, feeling estranged or alienated, like, this isn't meant for me. You know, like, oh, these people are not rapping to me. Mm. They're rapping at me.
Mm.
Like, and feeling like as a kid who grew up, you know, poor, like, I learned from Guru from Gangstar about how the system was not designed to help me succeed.
Yeah.
And how I needed to just be tenacious.
Mm.
Like, that was him that taught me that. It was not my mother and father. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
To be wary of people and their schemes because all they care about is money. Like, a lot of those concepts of me just keeping my head on a swivel and trying to earn some kind of street smarts because it was the only thing that was going to help me get a job or be successful. It was my audiobook before audiobooks. Like, I'm dyslexic. I didn't know that when I was in high school.
And you're saying that was a culture that wasn't necessarily meant for you, but you were part of it. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But my point is that when do we get to a place where it's American?
Yeah.
Like, when do we get to a place where it is? Those are my people.
Yeah.
Like, I should be proud of Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks because they're fucking.
Yeah, American.
They're American. Brave Americans. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's kind of like I've heard people say, like, I'm African American, but I'm American before I'm African kind of thing. Like, this idea that, like, I'm American.
Sure.
Like, sure, I have my heritage in another country, but I'm American.
Like, yeah. Also, but that's though, a weird, like, but there's lots of people thinking the way that I'm thinking. I'm not saying, like, I got it figured out or whatever.
Yeah.
And also, there's problems with the idea.
Exactly. Yeah. Because that's the tension. It's like, how do you maintain?
How do you keep K-Town?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do this thing that I'm suggesting.
Yeah.
It's a paradox.
We named our daughter Kateri, which is a Native American name. And we thought a little bit about that. We were like, is that weird to,
is
like,
is anybody going to ask us or be upset?
Yeah. Is someone going to be like, you name, like, you're not Native. There's no, I mean, maybe all of us have a little Native American somewhere, but it's,
I think,
like,
it's more disingenuous to do this whole thing where, like, people that look like me are like, I'm a Viking. Like, buddy, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But like you're saying, like, it's part of American heritage, and it was more of the Catholic heritage for me. Like, we associated that name with Catholic heritage because she's a saint. So it was like a different lens altogether, not from an ethnic lens, just like, we really like this person, we really like the name, we really like the saint, like, she's one of ours in the sense that she's Catholic.
Sure, there's all these different lens. Totally legit.
Yeah.
That's a culture that you totally are a part of, but because it isn't superficial, right? You chose to be a part of that.
Yeah.
That some people degrade it. Like, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
How we try to progress our culture in a direction that isn't superficial, that's somehow deeper or more meaningful, and yet, if you don't look the right way or don't sound the right way or aren't from the right, like, lines on the map, then this doesn't belong to you. These aren't your people. This belongs to something else. It just speaks to the tribal nature of us that, you know, and, you know, some people to an unhealthy degree, and I've definitely seen it in my life, I might have participated in it as a younger man, is this exoticizing of people that superficially look different than us. Mm. And so your interest is just as disingenuous, even though you're a positive supporter of something.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, we all experienced, if you're around the same age as me, like if you're in your 30s, the white dude that tried way too hard to act and behave.
Oh, yeah.
His interpretation of what being black meant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to a lot of people, that's offensive even.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's such a caricature. And then there's the situation where the kid is just acting like every other kid in his apartment complex.
Exactly, exactly.
But both like, of those is things
it intentional?
Exist.
Is it intentional?
But,
or
but both of those things exist yeah, yeah, very, yeah. very seriously.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so that's the thing is like there's tension there. There's yeah. tension between being genuinely like, no, 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 I appreciate this thing because it's good culture that I identify with, and I don't need to pretend. Like, I don't need to tell that story with my voice and my clothing.
Do you think it's something about, like, if you see someone just not pulling it off well, like, is it just a respect thing? Like, if someone, if it's like a shallow, like,
presentation is key for sure.
I'm gonna put in cornrows and like I just really love
like your Malibu's most wanted.
Yeah, like I really love this culture. Like there, it's almost something about sincerity, like sincere, like respect and
however,
reverence.
Every single person I know that got into skateboarding wasn't into skateboarding at some point.
Mm.
Everybody I know that got into motorcycles bought their first motorcycle at one point.
Yeah,
and like at what point are you not a whiskey guy and then you're a whiskey guy?
Mm.
So, like, what I'm getting at is sometimes you do have to fake it until you make it.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in something, pursue that bad boy.
Yeah.
But, hey, maybe tread lightly, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
maybe with a walk humbly at very, if you're yeah, at yeah, bare yeah. minimum, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and you got to self-suspect at all times that, like, why? Why am I doing this? You know?
Yeah.
For the culture.
Man, Juke, you just really... Really solving the world's issues here, dude. Kyle, what do you think, man? You voting for Juke?
Yeah, man, I'm voting for Juke.
I think Juke's going to really bring the world together. Unity, pluribus unum.
I was thinking about my recommendations, and I almost
we're trying to do Rex at the end.
I was going to say I almost changed my my album of this episode to like a hip hop album after Juke was talking all and on about how it's like okay for me to like be into that because it is cool. I do relate. to a lot of the things that like UGK talks about, right? I think it's really cool.
UGK talks about,
but I decided to stick with my guns and go with the emo '90s album that I had originally penciled in.
Nice,
but I'll give them here. My three for this week are I went with American Football's '97 debut, also called American Football, self-titled, absolutely incredible. And for movies, I found out that I had thought everybody had seen this movie, but none of my coworkers had actually sat down and watched The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman, like the old one
where
Mrs. Robinson came from. And so I was like, I need to put that out there. If you haven't seen The Graduate, you got to watch it. It okay. holds up very well. It's got some inappropriate scenes, nice. So be smart if you're watching with kids.
Okay.
And then for TV shows, this one's, everyone kind of knows of it as like this hipster show, but once again, watch it. Freaks and Geeks. Absolutely incredible. Holds up super well. The ending is abrupt because it got canceled after a season, but it's positively hilarious. Could not recommend it enough. It launched so many careers.
Okay, those are yours?
Those are my three. And they can be recommendations for anything,
yeah,
Juke.
Any type of recommendation. It could be take vitamin D daily, you know? Just come up with a recommendation. Mine is going to have to be... you know, it's not the most amazing thing in the world, but season 3 of Umbrella Academy. Did you ever get into Umbrella Academy on Netflix?
I think I saw the pilot.
Oh, man. I don't know why.
I like really season like 3. It. I thought season 3 was,
it was good.
Was good. I thought it was better than season 2. I like. I just rock with Diego. I'm a huge Diego
really?
Guy. Diego's
really?
My dude.
Who? So my favorite character is Klaus.
It's very fair.
Who's
Klaus?
He's kind of... how do you describe Klaus? He's just a...
He's kind of like the stoner character of the group, but he's actually funny and not just like a bit
yeah,
off.
Yeah, he's a good... I love Klaus. He's funny. Yeah, I just like his attitude and his swagger and like his outfits. And anyways, it's a good... It's a good... I didn't really... I half watched the last two episodes, so I don't really understand what happened. But it's pretty wild. So yeah, Umbrella Academy season 3. Seasons 1 and 2 I binged and I really really liked watching Umbrella Academy. So anyways, do you have a rec?
I recommend these chicken meatballs that I ate.
All right, where can we get those? Your wife?
HelloFresh.
Ooh, HelloFresh. Go to hellofresh.com/
the
appropriation
show.fm. Yeah, slash our user code is appropriation. I thought it would be funnier if I ate them on camera. It wasn't that funny.
Oh, it was great.
You live and you learn. I'd also like to recommend the book Ordinary Men by Christopher R. Browning. I'm pretty sure there's a cameo by Kyle's grandpa in there.
Perfect.
With that said, there is a real, there's a Hogan's Heroes book. Like, you guys know Hogan's Heroes? It's like an older television show.
No.
It's this old show.
Like Hulk Hogan?
No, not like Hulk Hogan. It's about, like, it's a very slapstick, like, 50s show about people in the concentration camp. And one of the guys, his book.
Like MASH, but
it's like, that's exactly what I thought is MASH, but concentration camp.
Well, it's like German soldiers. It's like World War II. I don't know how much they're in the camp. I've never seen the show. Slapstick. But the point I'm getting at is that there's the book by one of the actors in it where he does mention my grandfather by name. He's like, yeah, this was the trooper, and there's this guy, Henry. I don't really know what he was up to after the war. And I tried to write the guy a letter. I shot him an email because he had an email on his website. Like,
he knew?
Yeah, he knew my grandfather. And the story adds up because this guy was a young actor. And in like Henry's old diary, he's like, yeah, there was me. There was an actor kid. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Probably wasn't that many troops of people in Buchenwald, right?
Wow.
Like, probably just the one. And he mentioned him by name. And I don't know. He never got back to my email. This guy's super old. Man. But I wanted to tell him, like, oh, yeah, like, he survived. I mean, had a brain tumor not too long afterwards. But, like, enough to have a kid. The bloodline lives, right? Yeah. That's all you can really hope for.
Guys, we really, you know, World War II, is appropriation, the American dream, like, we're really...
What a bleak aspiration. Kyle, I my heart's been broken for you today.
Well, the bloodline going on, you may think it's bleak, Duke, but for a lot of a lot of Earth's history, that was all people had, man.
That was all they had.
That's true.
Well, Duke, it's been fun. It's a good episode. Come back anytime. Kyle, any last words?
No, but I've got no last words other than that, you know.
All right, guys. We will see you next time. Hopefully this episode was better than Allie and Brittany's last week. Bye. It was just Allie and Brittany last week.
It was yesterday.
Did I ruin the episode?
No, it was great. It was awesome. All right,
good.
Oh, I was just...